जयं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान् अभयचरणारविन्द भक्तवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्टो विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान् भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरिगोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू शील प्रभुपाद नमाम श्रीपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनि दिनामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यत प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परं जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वया इतरदस् अर्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयाम् तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहगं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैदवोऽत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यदेत्र कृतिभि शुश्रूषुभि तत्क्षणा निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमज्जुहावां पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अदितिदीर्षदां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदातृदाननेन्दोः मम वाजि विजृम्भदा मुरारे मधुरीं न कणिकापि कापि कापि नम ओं विष्णुपदा कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्रीमल गुरुचरणारविंदाभ्यां नमः। वंदे नंदव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णशा यासां हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविंदप्रमाणवे नमः। पीतांबरं करविराजितचक्रशंखं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालये शमनिशं हृदि भावयामि। कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म वासदां पुरतो मम। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः। श्रीमति राधिकायै नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्दनामसङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द। We were discussing last Sunday from Ekadasha Skandam, 14th chapter. We have seen Krishna's glorification of a devotee, and Krishna also mentions in those verses beginning from that in the verse 20, Krishna said that Natsadheti Mam Yogo Nasangyam Dharma Uddhava Naswadhyayam Tapas Tyagam Yadha Bhaktir Mamorjidaha. Krishna said, neither yogam, sankhyam, dharmam, swadhyayam, tapasya, tyagam, none of them will please me as much as yadha bhaktir mamorjida. After saying that, in verse from 21 to 28, Krishna spoke about the, that's what we were discussing last Sunday, wasn't it? So he spoke about the nature of a devotee, his life in this world, how he manages his life in this world. That's what we saw there from verse 21 onwards up to 28. In there, in verse 26, Krishna mentioned important thing. Yadha yadhalma parimrujyate sau malpunya ghada shravana bhidhanehi tatha tatha pashyadi vastu sushmam Chakshuddhi Vairanjanasam Prayuktam. Krishna says there, Malpunya Gadha Shravanabhidhane. If one hear about Krishna, his Punya Gadha, or which is auspicious to hear, and what will happen? Tatha Tadha Pashyadi Vastu Sushmam. That Sushma Vastu, this is where the spiritual life becomes perfection. What is that Vastu Sushma? Vastu Sushma means our self-realization, realization of the soul. Krishna is saying here, Yatha yadhalma parimrajyade sau malpunya gatha shravanabhidhanehi tatha tatha pashyadi vastu sushmam chakshuryadei vanjanasam prayuktam. So here is a statement from Krishna that once we hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Krishna's words, it should happen. Self-realization must happen. That is the word. Provided it is heard properly, it is as the process Krishna has spoken about. Tatha tatha pashyati vastu sushmam. He will start seeing that Sushma Vastu. Sushma Vastu. Here, Krishna is called as Vastu. Normally, we don't say about anyone as Vastu, isn't it? Why is it called Vastu? Vastu means he is the Vastavam. He is the only truth in this world. Nothing else is any truth in this world. So, there, because it is Vastavam, it is addressed as Vastu. Tatha tatha pashyati Vastu Sushmam. As much as we continue to hear and continue to glorify Krishna, punyaghada shravanabhidani, that about Krishna, from Krishna and about the great acharyas like Sudev Goswami, great devotees, when we hear from them, Krishna is guaranteeing tatha tatha pashyati vastu sushmam, that sushma vastu we will start realizing inside. When Krishna spoke all these things, and in the next few verses also, vishayan dhyayadaschittam vishayeshu vishajyade, maam anusmaradaschittam mayeva praviliyade. Krishna mentioned there, as much as a person is absorbed in the senses, sense objects, and gets absorbed in that, if his mind gets absorbed in me, when Krishna says absorbed in me means in the soul, maam anusmaradaschittam mayeva praviliyade, even eventually he will get dissolved in that. In other words, he will realize the self. In other words, he will realize the self. That's what it means. Maam anusmaradaschittam mayeva praviliyade. Praviliyade means it gets dissolved in that process and he realizes the self. He does not exist anymore independently from that as the false ego. False ego has completely disappeared and he has realized his original identity as the soul. That realization will happen to him. That's what he's saying here. Vishayan dhyayadaschittam vishayeshu vishajyade. Just like if you keep on dhyayadaschitta means meditation. If the chittam or inside is absorbed, dhyanam, meditation continues on the sense enjoyment, vishayeshu vishajyade, one who is meditating on that, how it gets fixed up in sense enjoyment. Everything depends on the meditation, isn't it? Whatever meditation we do inside, that becomes our life eventually. So that is the power of meditation. The power of meditation is so strong that it can change us into that, what we are meditating upon. That's what will happen to us. If we meditate on sense enjoyment, Krishna says how he gets completely fixed up in sense enjoyment. Vishayan dhyayadaschittam vishayeshu vishajyade. He said, if you keep on meditating on sense objects, his dhyanam, dhyayadaschittam, chittam is the subtle body, if it's kept on performing this dhyanam meditation of vishayam, vishayeshu vishajyade, it becomes fixed up in the sense enjoyment. Similarly, Krishna says, maam anusmaradaschittam, one who is remembering about me, the soul, Krishna is referring to, mayeva praviliyade, he will become one with that soul. In other words, his realization will be complete when he will realize that he is the soul and he is no more anymore a false ego. The false ego has completely gone away from him. He mentions that in that verse and in the next verse, Krishna told Uddhava, tasmad, therefore, asad abhidhyanam, asad abhidhyanam, this asad, dhyanam of asad, what is that dhyanam of asad? Asad means everything what we are not. We are actually the soul, body, mind, intelligence, ego, this is all asad. And at the moment, we are absorbed in this asad business, asad dhyanam. Asad dhyanam means tasmad asad abhidhyanam yatha swapna manoratham, that something that has no reality, mind has no reality, body has no reality, intelligence has no reality, false ego has no reality. Krishna is saying here, tasmad asad abhidhyanam, this asad abhidhyanam must stop. Yatha swapna manoratham, just like it is swapnam, it's a dream and it is a mental chariot. These two things together. It is a kind of dream that is keeping us in this bodily life and bodily understanding. Krishna says, unless one gives up this, hitva mai samadhalsva mano bhava bhavidam. And that one should hitva. He should give it up. And what should he do? Mal bhava bhavidam. That he should samadhalsva. He should absorb his, he should fix his mind on the soul, in other words. And he will eventually, madbhava bhavidam, we will also come to that spiritual realized state, like what Krishna is. In that state, we can also reach that state of self-realization, in other words. So, after saying this, that if you absorb your mind on asat, asat abhidhyanam, Krishna says, what will happen is, it is only a swapnam and manoratham. That it's only a dream and it's only a journey in the mental chariot. That's what we are all the time busy with. And then he says here, give that up. And why? Because we think that this world is real and everything in this world is permanent. And we have a permanent existence within this body. And the mind, intelligence, everything is permanent. This false identification with mind, body, intelligence and the ego, Krishna is saying that one should has to come out of it. There is no other choice in these things. We have to come out of it. So, saying that, he says there, then, and fix our mind on the soul, which is Krishna's nature. And saying that this is the highest realization or perfection of bhakti. And Krishna concluded there. But then the question came that Krishna has to say why this cannot be done easily. What's the problem in doing that? And that is the next two verses. Krishna is saying that why it cannot be done easily. Because the next two verses are in reference to that. Strenam strisanginam sangam tetva duradamalpavan kshame viviktamasinam chindayen mam atandridaha. Here, in the Bhagavatam, when Sukadeva Goswami is saying, he is saying to the readers that strinam strisanginam sangam tetva durada atmavan. Atmavan means one who is on the path of spiritual journey, spiritual realization, is atmavan. So, or one who is taking shelter of the soul, such a person, he should completely give up the association with the man, should give up the association of the women, and women have to give up the association of man. Man and woman, on their own, they are not bad. Neither man is bad nor woman is bad. Problem is only when they come into contact, all the problem starts. That is the understanding from Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam's point is that. And in order to explain that to us, there are two personalities in the Bhagavatam. One a woman speaking and another a man speaking. Both of them telling us what happened to them by coming into contact with the opposite side. Pingala, in the Srimad Bhagavatam you have seen Pingala's story, which we discussed in the 24 Spiritual Masters, Pingala's conclusions. Pingala tells us what happened to her due to her attachment to the man. Pururavas later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam says what happens to him by going after the woman. From these two examples, Krishna is pointing out to us, on your own, neither man nor woman is bad. Both are equally qualified for spiritual life. They can both can become self-realized in this body. There is nothing stopping them from doing that. Lot of misunderstanding about this. People have that only man can do it, women cannot do it. And therefore, it becomes a battle between the man and the woman. And it starts, one wants to have the supremacy over the other, and somebody is complaining this, somebody is complaining that. As far as Krishna is concerned, we are neither man nor woman. Actually, our identity is the soul. This body is only a temporary thing which doesn't have even existence as far as Sudeva Goswami is concerned. Sudeva Goswami is telling us that there is no such thing called body. That's what he says at the end of the Bhagavatam to Parikshit. You have not taken birth, he says to him. And there is a question of death. That is his question to Parikshit. Of course, that is a very higher state, because for us to deny this body is very difficult now. Because last 50, 60 years, this is all what we knew about it, this body. So at this stage now, to completely say to someone that the body is not reality, body doesn't exist, it will be difficult for most of the people to accept it. But because Sukadeva Goswami's words cannot go wrong, after all, it's coming from the realized soul. Most the personality who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, he is telling us that there is no such thing called body. Material body doesn't exist as far as he is concerned. So you can see there, while speaking to Parikshit at the very end, he says to him that Pashubuddhim Imam Jahi, give up this animal's intelligence, he says. Why is that animal's intelligence? Because he are identifying with the body, which actually doesn't exist. That's the way he sees that. And because he have not taken birth, he says, birth is for whom? Birth is for the body, not for the soul. These are perfection of the realization. Birth is for the body, not for the soul. We celebrate birthday, isn't it? What are we celebrating for? For getting this material body. Is that what we are celebrating for? We make it a big function, isn't it? We think it's such an important thing that we got a material body. Everybody is getting a material body in this world. Cat, dog also is getting the material body. What is there so great about that? But we take great pleasure in celebrations. But if you ask Sudev Goswami, would you celebrate your birthday? What will he answer to us? He will say to us, I have never had a body, first of all. That will be his answer. He never had a body. Body means that body is something outside the soul. Soul has nothing to do with the body. Body has, in our eyes, Krishna, he says here, Sudev Goswami says, body is existing for you, not for me. As far as he is concerned, body doesn't exist. And because it has not taken birth, it has no death either. As far as he is concerned, it has not taken birth. Birth is for the body, not for the soul. And I am the soul, why should I worry about this thing, something which I am not? That's the only way you can escape from this trap of the bodily identity. But unfortunately, in spite of hearing this millions of times, we want to carry the body with us. Wherever situation happens in this world, we will never get satisfied. We want to become, this is called adhyasam in Shastram. You can imagine how difficult it is to move away from this bodily identity to the spiritual identity. Till that happens, as a shelter to protect ourselves, these two verses were spoken. That why bodily identity increases day by day. And that is what that verse is talking about. Strinam stri sanginam sangam tektva duradam almavan kshema viviktam asinam chindayen mal atandridaham. Krishna says, one who wants to move on that path of spiritual advancement, who wants to realize the self as the soul, he should avoid two kinds of people. One, for the man it is women, and more dangerous than them is not the women, those who are talking about them. They are more dangerous than the women themselves, because it is they who drag you into that circle very strongly. Strinam stri sanginam sangam tektva durata almavan, he says. First we have to give up that close association with the women for the man, and for the women close association with the man as well. Srinam, Sri Sanginam, Sangam, that attachment inside. Tektva durata almavan, one should throw away to a long distance. Then, kshema viviktam asinam chindayen mal atandridaham. Then, kshema viviktam asinam, that he should sit in a place which is quiet and not disturbed by anyone. A solitary place. You should go to a solitary place. Because this is where, what is the idea behind that is that in the association of others, our chittavritti goes higher. The thought process gets stronger. When you are alone in a solitary place, your chittam has a tendency to calm down. So bringing down the chittavritti is the goal behind all these things, to keep the chittavritti low. That means the thought process to the lowest level. That's why many advanced devotees or great souls, they go to places aloof from everyone to get that chittavritti under control. Because when chittavritti is very strong in a person, all his energy is wasted in that. Lot of energy is wasted in chittavritti due to the activities of the mind inside. So therefore, it is kshema viviktam asinam. And that vivikta desha, Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Vivikta desha sevitvam aradir janasamsadi, he says there in the, I think, 13th chapter or so. So, vivikta desham, or being in solitary state, is good for spiritual advancement. It helps. Because chittavritti normally goes down considerably at that time. And chindayenmam atandrida, and you should engage in reflection of the soul about Krishna. In other words, you should engage about the reflection of the soul. basically all Krishna is talking about is that you have the opportunity to do this in the Jagrata state. Neither in Swapnam nor in Sushupti you can do that. So in Jagrata state, the time should be utilized for reflection on the soul. As far as dream state and deep sleep is concerned, there is not much of a thing what we can do about it. That is beyond, that is the modes of nature has taken control there strongly. But in the Jagrata state, if this can be done, Krishna says, that will help. So, as he mentioned, Krishna mentions there, Srinam Sri Sanginam Sangam. So, Sri Sangam and Sri Sanginam Sangam, both. Association with women and association with those who are talking about women, who discusses about women. And they are the majority always. Women may not do much harm. They will come and they will go. But these discussions, when you take it further to a higher level, that's when the Sri Sanginam Sangam happens. So Krishna says, Srinam Sri Sanginam Sangam Tektva Durada Almavan. If you want to go towards a spiritual realization, to know the self, in order that the self is, because discussion about these topics will increase the chittavritti considerably. Increase the chittavritti considerably. Therefore, he stops there itself and says to us, Kshema Vivikta Masinam Chindayanmal Atandrida. That you go to a place solitary from everything, so that the chittavritti comes down and you can focus on the soul. We have never done that. All the time we were trying to adjust the world, to change the world, but we never thought about changing ourselves, isn't it? And that is why all what Krishna says here is a an experience what one has to try oneself and see the result from that. This can be only spoken in that way. Only if you try it out, you will see this difference. How in solitude, automatically our chittavritti drops and feels that need for self-realization comes strongly by practicing chittavritti, by controlling the chittavritti. So, also it says that Valsyayana, who wrote Kama Shastram, isn't it? Valsyayana Maharshi wrote Kama Shastram, which is famous all over the world, isn't it? Whole world feels very great gratitude for that science, what it's been given. So there, and there the topics of discussion is about sense enjoyment, nothing else, isn't it? And that's what he has spoken about. And in order to give up the association of such Shastram, what has been, and that's also come from the Valsyayanam. So, one who has taking shelter of the soul and is trying to advance on the spiritual path should avoid this association. Not only that, he should be situated in such a place where such topics will not disturb his mind. Will not disturb his mind. This is necessary. This is necessary for the chittavritti. We will come to that. Why it is so important. That will come later. So after saying that, Krishna says in the next verse, na tatha se bhavet klesho bandaschanya prasangada yoshil sangal yatha pumso yatha tal sangi sangadaha. Krishna says, na tatha se bhavet klesho bandaschanya prasangada. Na tatha se bhaval klesho. How much distress one gets by association with the opposite sex. For the man, for the woman, and for the woman, the man. The amount of distress that comes from that, just like a husband, he has a relationship with the wife. Then that relationship grows into a wife's family, and for the wife, to the husband's family. So this relationship goes increasing, and it builds up all kinds of bondages in this world, isn't it? So Krishna is saying here, na tatha se bhavel klesho bandaschanya prasangada. Anya prasangada. That andaschanya anya prasangada. No other thing in this world can create as much entanglement as this, which we know very well, isn't it? Doesn't need any explanation. Everybody knows this, isn't it? Once this, a man meets a woman, marriage happens. And after the marriage, what happens? All the relatives gets involved from both sides. Then it becomes a huge circle. And the rest of the life, this is the only circle within which he is rotating. Him, his wife, children, in-laws from both sides, their family, their children, and that one circle. in that he is rotating whole life. That's why it's called like that. Anya prasangada. He says here, bandhascha anya prasangada. There's nothing else which will bring this entanglement in that way. So now you can see the depth of entanglement, why it's happening. Then you will have to go for that marriage, this marriage for the wife's side. Then wife will say, I have to go for that marriage, this marriage for the husband's side. And in this way, whole life attending marriages and all the other birthdays and this and that will go, and everything all together will go to the, to where? That place there. All together will be carried there. So whole life, what have we done? Mutually attended all the parties. And at the end, we end up in that place, Golders Green. That's where the last party. The last party finishes there. So Krishna is saying here that na tathasya bhavel klesho. There is nothing else brings more time consuming and more takes away your valuable. Time is more precious than anything else in this world. Na tathasya bhavet klesho bandhaschanya anya aprasangada. The bandhaschanya aprasangada. That anya prasangada, that which is causing unhappiness, nothing else happens in this world. Yoshil sangal yatha pumso yatha talsangi sangadaha. Similarly, association with yoshil sangha, association with women, and that talsangi sangadaha, all those who are connected with her, all that nothing else will bring unhappiness to us in this world. Pingala said the same thing. If you remember, Pingala, what did Pingala say? If you look into Bhagavatam earlier, that was in the Navayogis, the 24 spiritual masters. Pingala mentions there that when Vairagyam comes to her, before that Pingala was engaged in prostitution, wasn't it? So because of her so many desires inside, she has built up. The result of that was she was looking for money. She wanted money, a lot of wealth. Some desire built up like that. So when that desire built up, she started looking for, where can I make this money? Where will I get this money from? And that is how she took to that profession. And eventually one day, due to association with Dattatreya Maharshi, she came to her senses. Nirvedam came to her. So as I say, she says there in the 8th chapter, Tasya vitashaya shishya vakraya dina chetasaha Narveda paramojitnye chindahedu sukhavaham. That one day, because of my desire for the wealth, I have completely fallen into this trap and fell into this situation where I have completely forgotten who I am. When she says that, she means a lot. She has taken birth in Mithila, the place where Sita Devi has appeared. Sita Devi is the personification of transcendental knowledge, Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya is Sita Devi. And that Brahmavidya, where Brahmavidya has appeared, in that place she got birth. And she says, what a degraded situation I have fallen into. So that means a lot for her, isn't it? Having taken birth in Mithila, and this has to happen to her like that. So that's why she says there, Tasya vityas itashaya shushya vakraya dina chedasaha Nurveda paramojitnye chindahedu sukhavaham. Then it is at that point, suddenly due to the association of the Dattatreya Maharshi, immediately she reached that state of complete renunciation. In other words, she came to her senses. What am I doing here? Why this has happened to me? She came to her proper senses. And then she sang that famous song known as Pingala song in the Bhagavatam. Tasya nurvinna chittaya gidam shrunu yadha mama nurveda mashat pashanam purushasya yadha amhyasim. That she says here that there is nothing superior to vairagyam, renunciation in this world. That is the sword with which you have to win this world. And you have to kill that desires inside with this knowledge of this sword of knowledge. Nahyanga jada nurvedo deha bandam jihasadi yatha vijnana hido manijo mamatam nrupam. Then man will never get, unless there is vairagyam inside, it is very difficult to give up all the desires which are connected with the material body, which are connected with the material body. Because why vairagyam is stressed there is, even if you one hears Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, in order that jnanam, the knowledge in that to get established, or in order that realization to happen and to become firm inside, vairagyam is an absolute necessity. Absolute necessity. Jnanis in the very first stage itself, that is why they move away from this world. Why? Because their shraddha is on the soul. In order that the soul has to get soul, they have to absorb in the soul, they know very well that vairagyam is the fundamental requirement for that. So therefore they move into the vairagyam stage. Without vairagyam, jnanam will not develop. In the Srimad Bhagavatam you will see, Bhakti Devi had two children, isn't it? In the Padmapuranam, when you talk about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, there you will see the two children are jnanam and vairagyam. Bhakti Devi's two children are jnanam and vairagyam. Just shows that how important vairagyam, as important as the jnanam. Because there are two children, both of them are equally important for the mother. Mother won't say that this son is more important than the other son. For as far as mother is concerned, Bhakti Devi is concerned, both jnanam and vairagyam are equally important. So without vairagyam, if one expects that spiritual realization will happen one day, it will not happen. It cannot happen. Because the secret of spiritual life is this renunciation. Vairagya vidyanicha bhakti yogam, isn't it? Whether it is bhakti or jnanam, vairagyam is the key for that. So that's what she is saying here. Nahyanga jada nurvedo nurvedam. Dehabandham jihasadi yathavijnanarhidam manijomadam nrupam. After saying this, Pingala sang this famous song in the Bhagavadam, which we have discussed when we talked about the 24 spiritual masters, isn't it? Sandam samibe ramanam radipradam vitapradam nityamimam vihaya akamadam dukkhamayadishogam mohapradam tuchamaham bhajenyam. Then sandam samibe ramanam radipradam, somebody who is very close to me, I've forgotten him and I've gone looking for happiness in someone else's body. This is a mistake I have made, she says there. Krishna, who is situated within the heart, Pingala says, I've forgotten him. I should be looking for happiness with him. Instead, I went and looked for happiness elsewhere with another person in the same situation like me. The difference between this person inside and the person outside is, the person inside is a witness. He lives eternally and he doesn't have a consciousness like others have got. The person outside, she says, yadasti virnurmida vamsha vamsham stunam tvaja romanakai pinaddham kshayannavadvaramakara medal vinmutrapurnam madubaidikanyaha. She says there, the person outside, he is made up of these things. What are they? Astibhi, bones. Nirmida vamsha vamsha stunam. It's like a building he has made where there is the roof, the what do they call it, the beam on the top, which goes like this. From there the rafters comes down, isn't it? So our spine, what goes in the body is that the beam on the top. From that the ribs are coming both sides, which are the rafters, isn't it? Which are the rafters. So, nirmida vamsha vamsha stunam. And the whole thing, because it stings, what Brahma has done is covered up the whole thing with a cover, a nice polythene sheet on top of that. That is the skin. This polythene cover on the top, so that the smell won't come out from inside to outside. After making it, what he did was he took a nice, a good first-class knife and poked in 8-9 different places in the body. 9 places he poked, and he put this thing called senses in all these places. So, stunam tvaja romanaghai pinaddham. What else he did? He covered it with hair so that you don't see what is inside, and gave some attraction to it by giving the nails and everything. And only problem is, through these 9 holes, it's leaking all the time. Charannavadvaram agaramedal vinmutravornam madhuvaidikanyaha. And through these 9 holes, and Krishna says here, Pingala says here that when Mutra Purnam, all that is coming through these holes is not very pleasant. And they comes out, and that is the house in which he is living comfortably. And it is that what I was loving all this time. She says like this. And who will be interested? Look at my own ignorance, she says. This is what I was after. So she was realizing the truth. In other words, because at the end of the chapter you will see when Pingala finished that, Pingala finished her conversation, we talked about this in the 24 Spiritual Masters, where he mentioned at the end that pure self-realization platform comes to her and she recognizes that Ashahi Paramam Dukham. These desires that has driven me mad in this world, driving after one man after the other. Ashahi Paramam Dukham. Nairashyam Paramam Sukham. When there is total frustration in this world, it is the perfection of happiness. Because then your mind will not go after others anymore. Yada samchindya kandasham sukha sushabhi pingala. After knowing this, Pingala went to her good sleep. Because Chittavritti has completely stopped. So, Pingala's life, if you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, you will know how for a woman, attraction towards man creates this situation for her. And that will destroy her life as it is. It will destroy her life. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, I have got another personality, he says to Uddhava. This personality is nobody else, is one of our predecessors, a king in our own dynasty, our own parambara, much before than us, and he is Pururavas. That Pururavas story, Krishna talks to Uddhava much later in depth. Later he talks to Uddhava in depth to show Pururavas also fell into the same trap. That he could not engage in self-realization. All the other great personalities who appeared in the lunar dynasty, they gave up their family life, everything, went to the forest, engaged in self-realization, went back to the spiritual world. Only in the case of Pururavas, it got delayed. It took some time for Pururavas to open his eyes and to see what's on offer. So when Pururavas, unfortunately, went to the heavenly planets and happened to meet Urvashi there. And when he met Urvashi, Pururavas got attracted by her. Urvashi also had a curse from a sage to come to our world and to live here for some time. So she thought, looking at Pururavas, he is a very handsome, nice looking person, a king, very intelligent, very powerful personality. Urvashi decided to come here and live with Pururavas for some time. As soon as the time was over, Urvashi wanted to go back to the spiritual world. She dances in the heavenly planets, in the assembly of the demigods, and in the Brahma's assembly, she goes there. And she won't be interested in coming and dancing in our stages here, where we have a lot of problems, lighting, heating, all kinds of problems. She doesn't want to come here to dance. She will dance there. So Urvashi says to Pururavas one day, my time is finished, I'm going back. Pururavas gone mad. Pururavas was running around all over the world, Urvashi, 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 chanting the holy name of Urvashi. And eventually Pururavas came to his senses one day. And Pururavas says, what have I been doing? What a waste of time. I have wasted my life in this world. Krishna has given me this body to realize who I am and to go back to the spiritual world, not to come back here again, and to absorb in this silly enjoyment of this world. So Pururavas realization, you can read later on in the Bhagavatam, we will discuss that. It is called Ailagidam, because Pururavas was born from Ila. When Sudyumna, a man had to become man and woman 6 months and 6 months woman, we saw in the ninth canto, that story, in the beginning of ninth canto, that when Sudyumna was Ila's wife, Buddha had a son from her, and that is Pururavas. So Pururavas' birth itself is not very good. So there itself he had this problem. So unfortunately, but Pururavas was very powerful and very intelligent. Very intelligent and very powerful. So because of all that, Urvashi got attracted to her. But somehow or the other, spiritual realization didn't happen to Pururavas in the beginning. It took a while for him to come to his senses. So these two personalities, Pingala as a representative of women, and Pururavas as a representative of man, both of them have to tell us only one thing. That keep to yourself, don't get involved. If you do get involved, be cautious about it. And keep that. This is what Krishna is saying to us, that on our own, neither man nor woman is bad. Both are equally good. Both of them have the its own merits. Both bodies have its own merits and the qualifications for spiritual life. But when it gets in together, then the whole field of activity changes. That's the point he is making here. Na tada se bhavel klesho bandaschanya prasangada yoshil sangad yadha pumso yadha tal sangi sangadaham. Though, why this particular topic, this topic of man-woman was spoken here, no other thing in this world binds a man as strong as this one. All other things won't bind. Man can give up easily, if he is a little bit determined. But on this one thing, even Shah Jahan has fell, and so many others have fallen into this thing, isn't it? So, they all, even the great, great kings, you can see in so many royal families, they've all fallen into this one issue, they cannot do anything about it. Because the whole very root of attachment is coming from there, is coming from that. So if that is broken, that attachment is broken, then material existence itself is broken. At that point itself is broken. So that is why once this topic is taken about, all other topics leaves him, doesn't disturb him. Therefore Krishna says here, that one has to give so much importance to this one aspect of our attachment. There is a statement like this, yasya stri tasya bhogecha nistrigasya kva bhogabu striyam tektva jagal tektam jagal tektva sukhi bhava. Says here, yasya stri tasya bhogecha. As long as a man who has got a woman with him, he will have desire for sense enjoyment. Same way, the vice versa also. It will be. Yasya stri tasya bhogecha. Nistrigasya kva bhogabhu. If one doesn't have a woman, or a woman doesn't have a man, there is no possibility of sense enjoyment very much. There is no possibility of sense enjoyment very much. Striyam tektva jagal tektam. That if you have given up woman, then you have given up this material world itself. And jagal tektva sughi bhava. If you have given up this world, then you have become happy. You will become happy in this world. So, this is spoken by Vasishtha Maharshi. Vasishtha has spoken that. But Vasishtha was a householder. Remember that. Vasishtha has married Arundhati. But their life, if you look at it, both of them were great personalities. Although married, they lived in the perfection of spiritual life. Both Vasishtha as well as Arundhati Devi. So, what they are saying to us is that if you live the householder life in that way, it cannot create any problems. Krishna has never condemned householder life anywhere. On the other hand, Krishna himself lived a householder life than anyone else. And Bhagavad Gita was spoken by the householder. Bhagavad Gita spoken to householder, who Arjuna was a householder. And the personality who compiled Bhagavad Gita and Mahabharata was a householder, Vedavyasa Maharshi. So nowhere householder life is condemned, because sometimes people misunderstand like that. In householder life everything is finished, I have no hope. No, it is not like that. There is hope in the householder life also. Provided we have to follow the instructions what Krishna has given us. And then householder life also is not an ashram which is condemned anywhere else. So after saying this, so one who wants peace in mind, he should think these things very clear, carefully. These things what Krishna has spoken in these last two verses. So, therefore, for a man, when it is spoken Bhagavatam, you will see earlier that a person who wants to advance on the spiritual path in a brahmachari life, he should be even so careful that the attraction of the form of the woman to the man is so powerful that even if you make it out of wood, a wooden form of a woman, the man can get affected by that. That's so powerful, that senses. So, and this is stressed very much for brahmacharis and sannyasis also. The chances are brahmachari and sannyasi are more prone to affected by this. Householder, not so much, because householders is safer on the boat. Is safer on this boat. So all these ashram, Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam, in all these ashrams has its own to tell us how to make the progress on the spiritual path. That is the goal. So all the ashrams has to be geared in that direction. Having said all these things, Uddhava got a doubt now, and it's a very valid doubt, which he's asking in the next verse. Uddhava uvacha yadha atvam aravindaksha yadrisham vayadalmagam dhyayen mamukshure danme dhyanam me vaktum arhasi. Krishna says to Uddhava, yadha atvam aravindaksha yadrisham vayadalmagam dhyayen mamukshure danme dhyanam me vaktum arhasi. He says to Krishna, Krishna says to Arjuna, then you have to be very alert, isn't it? He said in the last two verses, you have to be very alert. At that time, Uddhava's mind went back to the words before that, where he mentioned about the Vishayan Dhyayadas Chittam Vishayeshu Vishajjade. Dhyanam. Dhyanam means meditation. This is a very big topic in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Uddhava is asking this question, Uddhava has gone to a very higher level, and from there he is asking that question. You see, how do you know that? I'll tell you how you know that. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, which is about Dhyanam, Dhyana Yogam it is. It is nothing but Dhyana Yogam. The 6th chapter is Dhyana Yogam, about meditation. Look at what Arjuna is asking Krishna about meditation, Dhyanam. So, Arjuna's question was that Dhyanam is a process. How should I practice it? And Arjuna Krishna answered in one way there. Here, Uddhava is also asking about Dhyanam. Krishna's answer is slightly different than the answer in the Bhagavad Gita. That is the most interesting thing. You will only understand that when you see, understand what is Dhyanam means. Dhyanam first is not a simple thing. Unfortunately, many misunderstanding on Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, people think that they have got this meditation classes going on in so many places, isn't it? So people think meditation is that I book my place and then pay the, you know, credit card or whatever, you pay the amount, go there after the work for an hour or so, go for meditation and sit in the meditation for an hour. They'll tell you how to sit, the particular pose and all that. And some places they teach you how to do the meditation and you do it for an hour. Most of the problems they fall asleep, and even if they stay awake, they will come home, but they feel that they have paid and they have done it, whether it was professional or not, something they don't know. So they'll come home and they'll do it for a month, for 3 months. Sometimes if they have a little bit more determination, they'll continue for a little longer period. Some people try to do meditation at home. And for they decide a particular time, I'm going to do a meditation. And they'll try to sit at home and do meditation. The meditation techniques they are taught, isn't it, by different people. There are different institutions which teach meditation. Here, when Uddhava is asked this question, Krishna knows very well that Uddhava has gone a long way in this spiritual life. Therefore, those things which Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, he did not talk to Uddhava. What he spoke to Arjuna, he did not talk to Uddhava. Which you will see, look at the 6th chapter and this chapter. You will see there, the way Krishna spoke meditation in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And in this Ekadasha Skandam 14th chapter is slightly different because of the different standard of the two devotees, two disciples of Krishna, Uddhava and Arjuna. Uddhava is in one stage, Arjuna is in another stage. Therefore, while talking to Arjuna, Krishna has started from a little early stage of the meditation process. While talking to Uddhava, Krishna has gone from a higher stage, he has started already. He simply went into the process of how to control the, how to sit and how to meditate and what form to meditate. That's all what is discussed in this description in the Bhagavatam. It says there, how to sit down and how to do the pranayamam as the prerequisite for the meditation, and then start the meditation, and straight away what will happen inside when the meditation starts, when the meditation starts. What will happen inside? And the form, how to meditate, different stage by step process for the sun and the moon and the fire, and in that the form, and what form to meditate. All those things, Krishna spoke about that here. And the form, the four-handed form of Vishnu form, inside to be meditation. And saying all these things, Krishna concluded the Dhyana Yoga, the chapter of Dhyana Yoga Varnanam. That is what is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you have not understood the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita very well, this part of Bhagavatam will be a little difficult. Because what will happen is, if I read out all these verses now, you will go home and give it a try. And there will be only one trial, and that will be the end of it. You will come back and say, it's not working. So everybody has, many people have done that. So that's why we will not go into it now. We will discuss first that sixth chapter little in depth. Because that sixth chapter is so important. Even that sixth chapter requires a long introduction. Bhagavad Gita, it is a very subtle science. And when you want to get deeper into it, you have to understand all the subtleties behind it, of the sixth chapter. And when Krishna starts talking to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he is only saying, even Arjuna was in a much higher level compared to all of us. Isn't it? Arjuna was in a much higher level compared to all of us. Therefore, even with Arjuna, Krishna didn't have to start from the beginning. He only had to start a few steps further. He started from there for Arjuna. But the background Krishna has spoken in the previous chapters for that sixth chapter. The sixth chapter, Dhyana Yogam. Dhyanam is a very complex process, it is. Dhyanam is not a simple thing, I can just sit down and meditate. Why we should not do it at this stage, all that is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Why we should not get involved in that? Because before getting there, there are so many other things to be done prior to that, prior to Dhyana Yogam. So, to understand that chapter of sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Dhyana Yogam, we have to understand the previous chapters well. So we'll go with that introduction to that, and it may take a few classes to understand this Dhyana Yogam in the Bhagavad Gita, and after that we'll come back to Dhyana Yogam in the Bhagavatam, and then it'll be a lot easier to understand, even if we may not be able to do it still, because we have not done even the things which you are meant to do prior to that. Prior to the sixth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita itself, we have a lot of things to do. Even that has not been done. So where is the question of engaging in Dhyanam? People, when you separate out things from Bhagavad Gita, this is what will happen. We'll start thinking, Dhyana Yoga, meditation, this is what I want to do. Immediately book your seat. And then once a friend was telling me that in America there's some company who is manufacturing first class meditation mats, specifically designed for meditation purposes. I'm going to buy one of that. I'm going to start meditation, he said, after that. So I told him, you have got money, you can buy it. There is no problem. Only thing is, you can buy the mat, but meditation won't happen. Meditation is not possible, I said. So he after that, I had not seen him for a long time. Then later on, one day when I saw him, I asked him, how is the meditation going? So he says to me, what he told me is truth. He said, I got the mat. That's only I had to give the credit card number. The mat came by the next day or two. The mat arrived. But only thing is, when I sat on that, immediately I fell asleep because it was so comfortable, he said. That it was well designed for the meditation. But why is that happening? Why is that happening? Because that person did not understand. He thought companies will sell you anything, wouldn't they? If they can get some money out of it. They will, and they know where the taste is. Somebody is interested in spiritual life, so they will sell him, you take this meditation mat and meditate. So if meditation is worth only $20 and $25, it would have been very nice. But it's not so. What happened was that prior to this, when you go into that meditation, a life we have led through our mind, so many active vigarams and emotions inside, they will all come back in that meditation. So that's why before we go into that sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we have to understand where Krishna starts this topic in the Bhagavad Gita. Where Krishna starts this topic in the Bhagavad Gita, we have to know that. Bhagavad Gita is a very interesting book when you understand that, the beauty of that Krishna's subtle way of speaking. That is what makes it interesting. Only when you realize it, you understand that Krishna's mercy to Arjuna, that he was able to get this across to Arjuna. Arjuna understood. But for us, we need to talk about it through again and again. In the fifth chapter, the chapter before that, you will see a verse there at the very end. Krishna says, Bhoktaram yajñatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram sukhritam sarvabhudanam jnatvamam shantimrucchati. Remember that verse? It's a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. That last verse in the fifth chapter. Krishna begins with that verse. Something he is bringing quietly, the meditation process into it. Krishna's whole of fifth chapter, which we are discussing in the Bhagavad Gita now, is all related to what is known as karma sannyasam, isn't it? Karma sannyasa yogam it is. So, Krishna says there, yajnam, sacrifices, tapas, austerities, the result of all that is me. The goal of all that is me. That yajnam tapas bhoktaram yajna tapasam is sarvaloka maheshwaram. Sarvaloka maheshwaram. Krishna is the supreme controller of all the creation, all the planetary systems. So you may ask a question, if it is like that, can we see such a person who is the controller of the all the owner or the proprietor of this whole creation? In this world, even in this world, right now, if we want to see somebody who is very big and well-known or celebrity or whatever, or a wealthy industrialist, businessman, or some royal family members, it is not possible for us to get there even. Even that is a lot of work we have to do here, isn't it? Even to get there. When it is like that, is it possible to reach Krishna? This will be a big question, isn't it? While in this world, who is little bit higher than us, wealthy or rich or famous or holds a big position in this world, we have no access to that. We go there to see his secretary, if she allows or he allows, we may be able to get in and to have a conversation with him. But in this verse, Krishna is saying, Bhoktaram yajna tapasam. I am the recipient of all these yajnam austerities, all the sages are performing, everyone is doing in this world. Sarvaloka maheshwaram. And I am the proprietor of all this creation. And he says that you can come to me. So it's a bit difficult to accept it straightforward. Krishna says there in the next line, you will see, Sukhridam sarvabhudanam. Therefore, to stress that point again, it is possible. Krishna says there, Sukhridam sarvabhudanam. Why did he say that? Sukhridam sarvabhudanam means, Sukhridam means, it does not mean he is a friend who is walking with us all the time. That's not what it means. The definition is, Sushtu hridaye sthidaha. That is Sukhridam. Sushtu hridaye sthidaha. In other words, he says, all the time with us, closest to us. Nobody is closer, more closer to us than Krishna. That is how close he is. We think, husband is thinking, wife is close to me, parents are close, children are thinking, parents are close to me. No, they are not so close to you as close as Krishna is. That is why Krishna immediately put that statement there, Suhrdam sarvabhudanam, Sushtu hridaye sthidaham, that you can't be more closer than that, than Krishna is to anybody. Krishna is the closest to us than anyone else in this world. And helping us, telling us what to do, and our all the time, as close to us as possible, he is present there and generating what? From us, from the soul, all the other loving propensities all comes to us. Who generates this? It comes from Krishna, isn't it? If you understand the soul, from the soul manifests priyam. Priyam means our loving propensities for others. It's not coming from the mind. It's not coming from the mind. All the loving propensities are coming from the soul. And it's only we find some attraction in this world for some things, which is a feeling what we get because of priyam for that. Priyam for another person. Husband feels priyam for the wife. Wife feels priyam for the husband. The father feels priyam for the children. The children feels priyam for the parents. We feel priyam for our relatives and things like that. This priyam, each other, where is it coming from? It's coming from the soul. It comes from the soul. And because Krishna is present there, that he is all the time giving us this as our friend inside the heart and as our protector. Suhridam sarvabhudanam. For all, it's not that Krishna has only said, I'll only sit with one person. He says, I'll sit with everybody, with every living entity. Sarvabhudanam, suhridam. Suhridam means sushtu hridaye siddhaha, that always present in the heart, closest to us than anybody else. So Krishna says there, a very important statement, suhridam sarvabhudanam yatva mam shanti mrachati, he says there. That means, although he is there, we are not aware of that. We are not aware of that. And because of that, what has happened? Ashanti. Because of that, ashanti. Ashanti means disturbed state, no peace inside. So, yatva mam shanti mrchadi. That is a statement in the Bhagavad Gita. Yatva means if you know that. Once you have known that, you will reach that state of shanti. Krishna says there. Isn't it? Jnatva mam shanti mrchadi. If you do not know, then ashanti. If you do not know, then there is ashanti. So, Krishna's point is, so, therefore, from jnanam, jnatva means jnanam, from jnanam, shanti comes. If there is no jnanam, ashanti will come. So, it's not, this knowing is not theoretically knowing. It said in the Bhagavad Gita, so I understood. Then shanti won't come. Jnanam has to be realized, isn't it? Jnatva mam shanti mrchati, even Krishna says, that jnatva means it has to become a part of our realization. Then only it is shanti will come. So jnatva mam shanti mrchati. So when we say this, people think that if you say to somebody that you have to believe in God, we say to someone, you have to believe in God. Do you believe in God? People ask this question, isn't it? Do you believe in God? We say, we believe in God. I believe in God, we say. Somebody else will say, I don't believe in God. So, actually, everybody believes in God. You say the truth. Everybody believes in the God. Even, I don't know about here in India, even big criminals, before they go in to commit a crime, they'll go to the temple and pray. That I'm going to do this, please help me in what I'm doing. So that is where the devotee puts Krishna in an awkward situation. Just like somebody gets sick and the patient is praying to Krishna that please cure my illness, let me get better. The doctor is praying to Krishna, let my clinic get better. That means let me get more patients. Now what will Krishna do? He has to strike a balance somewhere, isn't it? A person who has caught up in a legal problem, he is praying to Krishna that please protect me from this legal problem, what I've got involved in. Save me, and if you do this to me, I will make sure that I offer all the results to you, or 50% or whatever. He will pray like that. The lawyer will pray what? There will be more legal problems all over the world, so we will be busy. The lawyer, the doctor, and all these problems are there for Krishna also. Krishna has also got problems, not that we only have the problems. Krishna has to deal with all these kind of devotees also, which is a big problem. Because devotee is very sincere, he is praying that please cure my illness. Doctor is saying, if my clinic is going to go bankrupt, if nobody comes, everybody gets cured, then he is going to take Krishna to the court. So that's also a problem. So like this you can see that belief is such a thing as far as God is concerned. We all say we believe in God. So if you look into Vedic literature, nowhere you will find this word belief. Belief in God. Neither in the Bhagavad Gita, nor in the Srimad Bhagavatam, nor in Ramayanam or Mahabharatam, nowhere you will find this word belief in God. Because there is a reason behind it, why it is said like that. When you talk about belief, belief is not something where you are not sure about something. That's where belief is required, isn't it? In something where you are not sure about something, where you are not 100% sure it exists or not, that's where belief is required. Vedic literatures are concerned, there is no need for such a thing. There is no need for such a thing. So, certain things in this world, for example, to say to someone that I got a father and mother, do I have to believe in that? Or if I have to say like this, that anyone can make this statement that I am a man or I am a woman, it's not something that I have to believe in that, isn't it? It's not something I have to believe in that. So, what does that mean? Something where you are sure about something, there is no question of belief involved. So, when you say to someone that as far as existence of God is concerned, you have to believe in that, what it is saying here is that you are not sure about that. You are not sure about that. So, that is where belief is, belief's position. Say, for example, a ghost. There, you have to talk about belief because you don't know. Shastram is not saying anything about that, about the ghost. So, these things are concerned. God is concerned, there is no question of belief. Whereas ghost is concerned, there is a question of belief. Because why? Sometimes, as I've said before, ghost and post, isn't it? You see a post, you can misunderstand it as a ghost. And you go and report about that to somebody, that there is a ghost there. Then someone will come to verify it, but does he exist or not? And till it is verified, nobody can vouch for that, he existed or not, isn't it? So, in the same way, this relationship, what we have, what we receive from Krishna, all the time that awareness inside, I am that soul inside, from what that soul comes, so many signals to us. So many signals we receive from the soul in our everyday life. The first and the foremost signal that comes from the soul to us is our awareness of our existence. Isn't it? The awareness of our existence. I am existing. Which you can never take it away from me or for everyone in this room from themselves. They cannot take it away. It is with you all the time. In Jagratam, in Swapnam, Sushupti, in all these states, your existence you can never deny. You can never deny. Even after death, Krishna says that awareness is what goes along with it, because that is the very nature of the soul. Very nature of the soul. This is the first signal that comes from the soul to us, of our awareness. The second signal, what comes from the soul, is what is known as this priyam. Priyam to other living entity. We are able to show some happiness to someone or pleasure, or we say to others, pleased to meet you. What is that pleased to meet you? There's some pleasure in meeting someone, isn't it? A priyam is there in the heart of a person, that's coming from the soul. That's coming from the soul. Like this, if you keep on looking at it, Dhruva Maharaj says to Krishna, yonda pravishya mama vajamima amprasuptam sanjeevayati Akhila Shakti Dhara Sodhamnam Anyam Shahasta Charanam Shravanam Togadin Prana Annamo Bhagavade Purushaya Tubhyam. In one first thing, when Dhruva Maharaj saw Krishna, the way Dhruva Maharaj glorified Krishna in this verse was like this. Recognition of this, your presence inside me. That is the first thing. How Dhruva Maharaj glorified Krishna, recognizing Krishna's presence inside. Yo anda pravishya, one who entered inside me, mama vajam imam prasuptam sanjeevayati, that all my words, what I am speaking, why I am able to speak? Because he is inside there. He gives the energy and intelligence to speak. Intelligence became active because he is there inside. Sanjeevayati. Mama vajam imam prasuptam. In all three states, he is present there. Sanjeevayadi. Akhila shakti dhara swadhamnam. that he is the whole reservoir of the energy inside. The source of energy is him. Krishna is inside. Anyamsha hastacharana shravana atvagadin pranayan namo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. That hastam charanam shravanam. The hands and legs are able to function because he is inside there. The legs are able to walk because he is inside there. I am able to hear something because he is inside there. Hastacharana shravana atvagadin pranayan namo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. That Supreme Personality who is present inside in that way and giving that strength, and Dhruva Maharaj acknowledged that in his first meeting with Krishna. That is devotee. Devotee's knowledge, realization that. He realized that, that it's only because of Krishna's presence that this has happened. So that realization is what Krishna is saying there, Jnatva mam shanti murchati. Knowing that and realizing that, that Krishna's presence inside me all the time, in all circumstances, without whose presence nothing will happen in this world. I cannot do anything. The very existence of me is due to the presence of Krishna inside. Recognizing this, Krishna says, for him, Suhrudam Sarvabhudanam. For him, he is the closest friend. For that, one who has realized like that. So, Krishna is not very distant from us. That is the first thing Krishna wants us to understand, that Krishna is not very far from us. Because like the that Pingala said that to Krishna, isn't it? What did Pingala say? Sannam samibe ramanam radhi pradam vitta pradam. In the Bhagavadam, we saw that verse before. Sannam samibe ramanam radhi pradam. He is with me all the time and no one else can give me that happiness like the way he gives. In other words, Pingala's realized state is like that. She realized that nowhere else you can get that happiness like the way she found the happiness in Krishna. So, he is so close to me, so close that you can't be closer than that. So close he is to us, always protecting us and always as love personified. So, Krishna is like that. So, where would we go and search Krishna then, if it is like that? That's the point Krishna is saying like that here, that once a soul who is present inside and a person who is present like that within us, do we have to believe in this? Is there any need to believe in this? Is it not a foolish thing to say that you believe in God? That is why Vedic literature is coming from. Vedic thinking is, one whose presence alone is creating this awareness inside of our existence. One whose presence by which we are able to function in this world through the mind, body, intelligence, senses, everything. One by whose presence all our emotions of feeling, love, hate, all other things are happening. Such a person who is the closest to us, closer than anyone else in this world, do we have to believe in this or do we have to accept it without any questioning? This is the question here. That Yatvamam Shanti Mirchati means all these things. That Yatvamam Shanti Murchadi is not simply saying, because Bhagavad Gita says like that, okay, I will accept it now, because Bhagavad Gita said like that. No. It has to be understood in this way. That Sandam Samibe Ramanam Radhipradam, like Pingala says, or Pranan Namo Bhagavade Purushaya Tubhyam, like Dhruva Maharaj says, as much as Krishna's presence inside, when we start experiencing that, the presence of Krishna inside, and completely surrendering to that principle, that without whose presence inside, we will not be able to do anything in this world. Not only that, even our own very existence, we won't be conscious of without his presence inside. So close he is to us, and we say, oh, do you believe in God? So you can see where the problem is. Believe in God is like coming from where, I will tell you. We are thinking there is up there somebody far away, millions of miles away. And we do leave this body. And people keep asking the question, do you believe all this crap? They say, isn't it? One who has no faith, that's what they will ask. Do you believe in all this crap? They will say. And one religious group will say one thing. And they'll say, not only that, you go there, you can enjoy very well there. They'll give you so many opportunities for enjoyment. Somebody else will say, no, well, you go there, whatever you do at the end, he is so kind, he will take you there. Doesn't matter. But Vedic philosophy is saying, You don't have to go there looking for him right now, right inside you, along with you. He is there telling you what to do, what not to do. And he is always giving you that strength to function in this world, in this very body. So, Vedic literature brings us closest, and there is no question of discussing belief here. Belief is over. Belief is for those who thinks there is somewhere else he is sitting. But belief is not someone who believes that he is there with you 24 hours, 7 days, 724, whatever way you put it, in that way, he is there from not only now, before birth he was with us, after death he is with us, and throughout life he is with us. There is no point you can get rid of him. You can, because if you get rid of him, you are finished. You don't exist after that. That is so close is that connection with Krishna. That's why Pingala said, Sandam samibe ramanam radhi pradam vitta pradam. That with his presence, when we recognize, when we understand that closeness to Krishna, how close we are, and we started reacting with him, dealing with him in that way, we will start experiencing the presence of Krishna. That is what it says like that. So, that thing, therefore, because he is present like that, Krishna is called Vastu. That's why that Vastu word has come from. He's present, he's not saying to us that I am there in what form, nothing. He's there. So therefore he's called Vastu. Vastu. So the Vastu word has come from that. Normally people will ask this question, how can you say only a jadam, dead matter, you can call Vastu, isn't it? But the reason for that is, he is always present there. And whatever that exists, reality, who has got real existence forever, continuously, he is called Vastu. He is called Vastu. So, Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam. In the Bhagavadam, begins like that, isn't it? Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam. That Vastu we are going to discuss in the Srimad Bhagavadam. Vedavyasa Maharshi says, in the beginning, isn't it? Dharma Projita Kaidavotra Varamo Nurmatsaranam Sadam Vedyam. Sadam Vedyam. Always there. Vastavam is the only reality. Atra Vastu Shivadam. And that is this Vastu, which is the most auspicious thing to talk about. And this Srimad Bhagavatam is all about the discussion regarding that Vastu. About this Vastu. That's why Vastu is the word used about God in the Bhagavatam. About the Absolute Truth, Krishna. The word used is Vastu in the beginning. Satyam Bharam Dhimahi. Another place it's called Satyam, isn't it? So, Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam. Tapatrayam Unmulanam. Once you have known that Vastu, what that Vastu is, Tapatrayam Unmulanam. All the three distresses completely leaves a person. So, saying like that, so once it so happened that the devotee is called Krishna as Vastu. Devotee is called Krishna as Vastu. So, Jnanis also calls Krishna as Vastu. And once it's an amazing Vastu, this is inside. This Vastu inside. A devotee once fell into great poverty. Or he lost all his wealth. He lost all his wealth. This devotee is from the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. From the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Vedanta Deshikar, he was referred to. And he wrote a famous song after that. He lost all his wealth. And he says, Asti me hasti shailagram vastu paidamaham dhanam. He says, Asti me hasti shailagre vastu paidamaham dhanam. That was his statement in one of the songs what he wrote. He says there, I have lost everything, but one thing my grandfather and my ancestors have given me. Even if I want to lose it, I can't lose it, he says. He says, even if I want to lose that wealth, what has been handed over to me by my great grandfather and grandfather and all the other preceptors in the past, Payamaham dhanam, that wealth, I can never lose it. I will not lose it. All other wealth I will lose. But he was a great acharya who wrote a very famous books in the Sri Vaishnava tradition. So there he says there, Vastu was Astime Hasti Shailagre, that the deity they have worshipped Hasti Shailagram. That was the way Krishna was worshipped in that form. And he says, Vastu Paina, that was handed over to me by my ancestors. And that is my wealth. I can never lose that, he says. And that I will never lose it. Because even if I want to lose it, I can't lose it. Isn't it? Suppose Krishna is come with us. And if we want to say to Krishna, Krishna, you leave us. Leave me alone. Let me live on my own. You stay away from me. What will happen? What will happen at that time? It is an impossible thing to think about, isn't it? Our very existence is due to Krishna's presence inside. So all other things in this world, everything else in this world, except Krishna, if you keep it with you, one day you have to lose it. You have to lose it. There's no question about that. No matter whether it is property, whether it is cash, whether it is jewelry, whatever known ways of investments, stock shares, doesn't matter, whatever it is, ultimately you have to lose it. You have to lose, including your body. So he says, let it all go, the house, the bank deposit, forget about that. Even your own material body, how nicely you look after this, you will lose it one day. But the only one thing what you never lose is Krishna. What is that Krishna? Krishna is in presence in us as my own existence. That awareness of my own existence. The first signal. What's coming from the soul. That you cannot throw it away. You cannot lose it, even if you want to. Everything else you will lose it. So, something that cannot be lost, that is called astitvam. Astitvam is something which always will stay. So, Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? To support this statement, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what does he say? Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe Arjuna tishtadi. I am sitting there in everybody's heart. Because we have not experienced this, we are still doubting, is he there? We ask this question, is he there? We'll ask this question, isn't it? And then we'll go all over the world looking for Krishna. Where is Krishna? He said, I was told that he is in Vrindavan, somebody else is in Mayapur, somebody else is somewhere else. So, going around all over the world looking for someone who is closest to you than anything else. Who is closest to you, we are searching him everywhere else in the world. So, that is where the thing comes to understand. Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe Arjuna tishtadi. I am sitting there. Brahmayan sarva bhudani yandrarudhani maya. And sitting there, what I do? Engage everyone in rotating in this world. Sarva bhudani yandrarudhani maya. In this world of maya. I am doing that. So, after saying this, in all the three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, and in all these three states, he is present there as the witness. Isn't it? Sakshi. Avastha Sakshi. Avastha Sakshi is called. Avastha means these three states. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. So, in Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, he is the witness of everything. He is not affected, isn't it? Because Krishna also mentions that. Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupta, Gunado, Buddhi, Vrtaya. It's coming from the three modes of material nature into the intelligence and the mind. That is where the three states of existence have come for us. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti is caused by the three modes. We have discussed this before, isn't it? Satugunam causes Jagrat, Rajogunam causes dream state, Tamogunam causes the Sushupti, deep sleep state. That is going on. But in all these three states of existence, someone who is a witness to all these three states, unaffected by Sachityena Vinischida. We remember that verse in the Ekadasham earlier. We saw that. Jagral Sapna Sushuptam Jam Gunado Buddhi Vrittayaha Tasam Vilakshano Jiva Sachityena Vinischidaha. Sachityena Vinischidaha. As a Sakshi, he has been sitting there. Who? Tasam Vilakshano Jiva, that Jiva who was inside, which is Krishna's presence in the Jiva form. As Jiva, he is sitting there and he has been witnessing all that. And that is the proof in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says. And that presence of Krishna inside is the prajna. Once you realize that, that he is present inside, in three states, he is realized in three different ways. In the Jagrat states, he is called Vishwam. In the dream state, he is called Tejasan. And in the Sushupti state, he is called Prajnam. So, this Prajnam state, in the Sushupti state,
Even if there, if you want to take him out, you can't take it out. Because when you come back to Jagrat state, you see he is coming back again. In the form of awareness, it comes back. Isn't it? So, that is, the interesting thing here is, self-realization is only knowing all these things and realizing it. It's nothing to go outside and get anything from outside. That we cannot, it's already there in us. What is happening to us is, we have lost this realization. That's all. Awareness we have lost of his presence there. That is why when Prahlada spoke to all the other friends, remember that discussion Prahlada had with his friends at the school, he says to them like this. When it is in Prahlada's own words, he says, Nahi achyudam prinayedo bahvatso asuralmaja almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatval iha sarvadam. Prahlada, when he spoke about Krishna to all his friends, the friends were thinking that it will take a long time to find this thing called God somewhere else where he is, where we don't know. Prahlad is saying this, he has seen God, but how long is it going to take? This was the question the friends have raised to Prahlada. They were asking Prahlada this question, how long will it take to see God? They are all young boys, small boys, isn't it? So they are talking, and Prahlada is telling them about God that it is not very difficult to find him, he says. Prahlada says to his friends. The friends are asking, how long will it take? So Prahlada says to him, oh, it's only a question of realizing it. So he's already there with you inside. So that is Prahlada's statement. Prahlada never said to him, it will work for 30 years or 50 years, chant and realize it. At some point he will come and see you and you can talk to him at that time. No. He says, Atmatval sarvabhudanam. As the soul is present inside, Siddhatval iha sarvada. He says here, Siddhatval iha sarvada. He's already, you got it. Something what you have got it, you are asking me. He says to, Prahlada says to them. What you have, only thing you are not aware of that, what can I do? That was Prahlada's statement. Atmatval atnahachudam prinayato. It's not very difficult to please Krishna. Prahlada says, Nahyachudam prinayato. Bahvad yo asuralmajaha. That Asuralmaja, or children of the demons, is addressing them. He is himself a demon and he is telling all of them, or children of the demons. He says to them, Nahyachudam prinayado, that it's not difficult to please Krishna. It's not very difficult, he says. Why? Almatval sarvabhudanam. He is present inside as the soul. Siddhatval iha sarvada. And if you start probing into it, you start inquiring after, you will find him there. It doesn't have to come from outside. It's already sitting there. That is how Krishna, how close Krishna is to us. This is the reason. And this realization happens. Krishna says, Nyatva mam shandimruchadi. Bhagavad Gita statement. When Krishna says that, all these things are implied in that verse. It's not that I read that verse, I conducted a few class seminars and tell everybody, look, that verse is telling you like this, so you can take it. No, it's not like that. It is with the support of all this. Prahlada's statement, Dhruva's statement, Pingala's statement, and statement of so many other great devotees. When they have realized that, he is the closest to all than anything else in this world. Anything else in this world. That's why he says here, Nahyachudam prinayato. Bahuad yo asuralmaja. Asuralmaja, it is nothing more easier than this to please Krishna. To please Krishna. Why? Atmatval sarvabhudanam siddhatval iha sarvadam. Being present inside us as the soul is already close to you. You've already got it. The only thing is that ignorance has to go from inside. That I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intelligence, I am this ego. This is the disease we have got with us. That we are unable to break away from this realization of the body, mind, intelligence. So many lifetimes we identified with different bodies, different mind, different intelligence, different ego. At some point Krishna says, turn attention towards me. That is all Bhagavatam is telling us to do that. So when you accept that Prahlada statement, then that verse will make sense. Which one? That last verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Which says that Bhoktaram Yatnyatavasam Sarvaloga Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhudanam Nyatvamam Shanti Mrachadi. When you realize that Nyatvamam, immediately result, Krishna says is Shanti. Shanti means what? Peace. Total peace. And there is no more disturbances after that. Total peace. Yatuamam Shanti Mrachadi. So
this getting this Shanti, when Prahlada puts it like that to the children of the demons, he says to him, then it is very easy, he says. It's very easy to get that. In other words, all that Prahlada is indicating there, at the moment our identity is with the false ego, isn't it? Ahankaram is what our identity is. We have somehow or the other fallen into this identification with this body, mind, intelligence, everything through false ego. Through false ego. False ego is the one that makes us realize that we are something different than the soul. Something, and it is a false ego that identifies us with the body and the mind and the intelligence and the and senses and all the bodily enjoyment, everything. So, if this moment as identification with the false ego, we lose it, at that time, that we will get that back. We'll get that back. In other words, false ego has to completely disappear. It should not take birth again. But the difficulty with this false ego is, when we get a kick, false ego will go. And as soon as the effect of the kick has gone, the false ego will come back again. That everybody knows, isn't it? How it is in life. When you feel very distressed, then you feel that, now you become completely surrendered to what Krishna says. But as soon as you get back some strength or some energy inside, immediately you will change the position again. I'm doing everything after that. So that is how the very nature of this false ego is, which we know by experience. So Krishna says here that the nature of this identification, how the false ego works is in the form of kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. Isn't it? Kartrutva bhoktrutva rupam. In other words, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer is the nature of the false ego. It's the nature of the false ego. False ego will have convinced us that we are the doers and we are the enjoyers. And the moment the false ego disappears, these two things leaves us. Kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam leaves us. So it is Krishna's form, that is. Which means the form that free from false ego is what is Krishna's form, which is addressed in different ways as Radha Krishna form or Radha Gogulananda form, Sidharam form, in different ways. But it's all that state of freedom from false ego in us. And so Krishna says here, as soon as you reach that state, Yatvamam Shanti Mrachadi. Shanti has come to us. So, till that time, Shanti will not happen. In other words, Shanti will not happen. Therefore, at the end of the fifth chapter, Krishna says like this, that before entering into the sixth chapter, and Bhagavad Gita, as you know, has been divided into three. These are commentators' opinion. Krishna hasn't said anything. Vedavyasa Maharshi hasn't said anything. That the first six chapters are karma pradhanam. Stress on karma. The next six chapters are bhakti pradhanam. Based on bhakti. And the last six chapters are based on jnana pradhanam. Importance is given to knowledge. Jnana pradhanam. So karma pradhanam, first six chapters. Bhakti Pradhanam, the second six chapters, and Jnana Pradhanam, the last six chapters. Not only that, Bhagavad Gita is also, and these are all different commentators, famous commentators, their opinion. It also represents Tattvamasi, Mahavakyam. That means, as you know, that Upanishad statements have got four famous vakyams from that. Tattvamasi is one of them. Tattvamasi. So the first six chapters refers to Tat. The second six chapters refers to Tvam, and the last six chapters refers to Asi. So, Anusandhanam they call it. Those who are following Vakyam, Mahavakya as they are called, Tattvam Asi, their Anusandhanam will be first six chapters as Tattvam, the second six chapters as Tvam, and the last six chapters as Asi. So, many different ways people have analyzed Bhagavad Gita in different levels. But whatever it is, Krishna gives us an indication here that Bhoktaram Yajnadavasam Sarvaloga Maheshwaram
സുഹൃതം സർവഭൂതാനാം ജ്ഞാത്വാ മാം ശാന്തി മൃച്ഛതി ദാറ്റ് ജ്ഞാത്വാ മാം ജ്ഞാത്വാ ശാന്തി മൃച്ഛതി ഓർ ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് ഇഫ് യു ഹാവ് റിയലൈസ്ഡ് കൃഷ്ണ ഇൻസൈഡ് ആൻഡ് ഇഫ് യു ഹാവ് ഫൗണ്ട് ഔട്ട് ഹൂ ഹീ ഈസ് then you will find the shanti there. Krishna is not saying you will find shanti in Kurukshetra Bhumi, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He says you won't find the shanti there. Even if you go to Vaikuntham, Krishna is not guaranteeing shanti. Even if you go to Vaikuntham, Krishna is not guaranteeing any shanti. Because, say if you go to Kailasam, Lord Shiva's abode, Krishna is not saying you will find shanti there. So if you keep on inquiring about Krishna, he says if you find him, you will find shanti. And the place to find that is inside where he is closest to us. So what is the difference here? What we require in this life is shanti, isn't it? What we require in this life is shanti. shanti is the only, there is a difference between shanti and vigaram. I think we discussed that before. Shanti will remain. Vigaram won't remain. That is the two differences between shanti and vigaram. Vigaram means emotions. For example, if you are in a nice kirtan or musical concert or something like that, you will feel some happiness coming from there. But as soon as you leave the concert hall or the kirtan hall, that will go, that will disappear, isn't it? Like so many other emotions. So many emotions, isn't it? Anger. Anger also you can't keep it forever, isn't it? People ask this question, how to get rid of the anger? Only thing you have to do is to wait, it will go. That's the answer to that. You don't have to think that it will follow you all the time. No, it will go. After a while it will leave. So because it is an emotion, what is the difference between emotion and shanti? Emotion is something which is transforms, which continuously changes, parinamam. Parinamam happens to emotions. Shanti has no parinamam. Shanti is steady state all the time. There is no higher shanti and lower shanti. Shanti is shanti. That means you are in that peaceful state all the time, situated, unaffected by anything in this world. So, actually, then how to fight against desham or anger or krodham? The answer to that is you don't have to fight, it will go. When it's ready, it will go on its own, so don't have to fight against that. So you don't have to do anything about that. For example, you got angry yesterday, and this thing called vigaram is not under your control also. It comes mainly because of the vasanas inside. That's what is generating it out. So there you haven't got to put any effort into it. It will come in its own way and it will leave you also on its own way. There you don't have to take any initiative from your side. Similarly, take for example happiness. You felt happy about something, which is also a vigaram, isn't it? Happiness is a vigaram, it's an emotion. Vigaram means something which can transform itself. And suppose you are happy, now it's about 6, 8, 7 o'clock, you are happy. Today you are very happy at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow at 7 o'clock, if you want to be happy, there is no guarantee. You may be happy or you may be extremely miserable at 7 o'clock tomorrow. So, vigaram is like that. There, you have no control on it. You have no control. These are the things, very subtle things you have to remember. Difference between shanti and difference between emotions. Sandosham, sandabham, dukham, sukham, these are all emotions. It's all based on the mind. Shanti is based on the soul. That's the difference. Shanti is coming from the soul, like Priyam. Priyam comes from the soul. Shanti comes from the soul. All the emotions comes from the mind. That's why it has no permanent existence. Shanti has a permanent existence. Now, what happens? Shanti is not a vigaram. So, shanti, you don't have to get it by your effort. Shanti is not coming by effort. Why is it like that? Because shanti is only removing all the blocks inside. Already there is so many blocks inside. You know, in our nervous system and in our body, due to our association with the body and the mind and all the chitta vritti inside, there is so many blocks inside. That blocks, yogis calls it as the blocks in the nerves. That's how they address it. Jnanis calls it as the presence of all this jnanam in a person. That is a jnani's way of designation. Devotee will say, oh, I have to purify myself. What is he purifying? He doesn't know. He's saying, I have to get purified. But what am I supposed to purify? Somebody thinks that it's just like a detoxification or something. But detoxifying what? So there is the three, jnani, bhakta and yogi, they're all doing exactly the same thing. Yogi will say, all my nerves are become affected by the, something is there in my body, I have to purify that. Nerves have to get purified. Jnani will say, purification of my avidya, ignorance inside. Devotee will say, I know there is something in me which I have to get rid of. He says, I have to purify. So whatever it is, whatever it may be, purification is necessary. We all agree on that. Jnani, bhakta and the yogi, they all agree on this one point, that purification is necessary. So after accepting that principle, that we can see that only in the shanti state, only in the state of shanti, you can be perfect. Purnatam. Purnatvam will be only in the shanti state, not otherwise. No other state you can be perfect. Why? Because it's changing. So shanti is the purnata. Purnata means that perfection or completeness only is in the shanti. So in order that to happen, because that this shanti is not something you will acquire from outside. It's not that you will acquire from outside. Other things, for example, the excitement inside of listening from a music or watching a drama or engaging in any other kind of entertainment, when you require get some emotions, those things you have to acquire from outside. Shanti you have to acquire from inside. So there again there is a change in the, from where it's coming from. Shanti comes from inside. All other emotions, happiness, distress, envy, jealousy, hate, and all the other mercy, all the good qualities, what we are talking about, they're all coming from outside. But shanti comes from inside. And therefore, this will only happen when our vision, drishti, is andarmukham, when it go inward looking. Till that, as soon as long as the drishti is bahirmukham, is external, shanti is very difficult. Shanti is not possible. Practically, it's not possible. That is why they say in the Shastram, the first thing is to turn the vision inward looking, to look inwards. So don't ask how to do that straight away, because that is what Upanishads are telling us. That shanti, first we have to understand why it is important to look inwards. It's not that we are frightened of the world outside, so let me go inward looking, because it's so troublesome outside, so let me give up everything. It's not like that. Inward looking is necessary because this thing called shanti is only from inward looking it will come, andar drishti. Bahir drishti has to go. That's why it said, andar mukha samaradya bahir mukha sudhur labha. Lalita Sahasranamam says like this. When Sri Parvati's glorification, Sri Parvati is also representative of Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya means spiritual knowledge personified. This knowledge is feminine. Sita Devi, Radharani, and Sri Parvati, they are all representatives of Brahmavidya. They are all representatives of Brahmavidya. So Brahmavidya, when Sri Parvati is glorified in the Lalita Sahasranamam, there is a statement like this, Andarmukha Samaradhya. One who has gone Andarmukham, inward looking, very easy for him to find it. Bahirmukha Sudurlabha. One whose vision is always in the world outside, very difficult for him to find it. That statement is there while talking about the shanti. It says like that. So so by andarmukhatvam or looking inwards, that treasure inside, that treasure which is inside, Krishna says it is easy, we'll find this great treasure, Mahanidhi. Inside you will find him. You'll find this great treasure, what is inside. That Mahanidhi, the great treasure inside, is what is mentioned in the Vishnu Sahasranamam. 1000 names of Vishnu is given as a name to Vishnu. which Krishna has been given, Vishnu form, Vishnu is given that name, Mahanidhi. Mahabhudo Mahanidhi. That is how he is addressed there. Mahabhudo Mahanidhi. That Mahabhudam inside is Mahanidhi also. Inside who is present there. So Vishnu Sahasranamam says Mahabhudo Mahanidhi. Lalita Sahasranam says Andarmukha Samaradya Bihirmukha Sudurlabha. One who is inside only can see it. One who has gone inward looking can find it. Otherwise it is not possible to find it. So when we find that Mahanidhi inside or Mahamudham inside, that is the very nature of that inside is Shanti. Very nature of that is Shanti Swarupam. So, and Krishna says here, in order to come to that Andarmukham state, Krishna says Dhyanam is required. Dhyanam is required. Dhyanam is a process for going inwards. For going inwards, Dhyanam is required. So, but this is the state Krishna is saying, in which state Dhyanam should happen. That Krishna is going to come to that later. Dhyanam is not cannot be done at this stage. It's not at this stage Dhyanam has to be. That's why I'm mentioning this again. When Krishna answered that question to Uddhava, Uddhava's case, all these things are known to Uddhava very well. That's why Krishna started from a stage where Uddhava needed to, what Uddhava needed to know, only that Krishna has spoken there. That you will see the difference in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavadam. So, Krishna says, Dhyanam, importance of Dhyanam. We should understand this word Dhyanam very well, and then you will know what a most beautiful process is Dhyanam is. There is no other process like Dhyanam in spiritual life. And if you have reached that state of Dhyanam, gopis were in the state of Dhyanam all the time. All the time. All the time in the state of Dhyanam, gopis were. And that is the state of Dhyanam Krishna is going to talk about here. So Krishna says, we have to perform Dhyanam. So what Krishna did was, in the fifth chapter, before the sixth chapter began, Krishna put an introduction to Dhyanam in the fifth chapter. If you look into that verses, 27 and 28. Karmasanyasam is the topic of discussion in the fifth chapter. But what Krishna did there was, before finishing that fifth chapter, put an introduction to Dhyanam in those two verses. Look at those two verses. Sparshan krutva bahirbahyam chakshuschaivandare bhruvo pranapanau samau krutva nasabhyandara charinau yad indriyamano buddhirmunir mokshavarayana aha vigadaye cho bhayakrodha yasada muktaye vasaham. Krishna says, Sparshan krutva bahirbahyam chakshuschaivandare bhruvo. That is what the qualifications he says. That the process of meditation, Krishna says there, so it's a Purva Pidhya. That means laying a foundation for the Dhyana Yoga. That's what Krishna has done in that fifth chapter. Laying a foundation for the Dhyana Yoga. First of all, we have to understand that what is Dhyanam? What is the purpose of Dhyanam? Purpose of Dhyanam is to come to the state of Shanti. Isn't it? Come to the state of Shanti. Purpose of Dhyanam is to go. Shanti is the final goal. But prior to that, before entering to the Dhyanam process, we have to turn inward looking. We have to become inward looking. Andharmukha samaradya bihirmukha sudurlabha. So Andharmukhatvam will come, and the process is Dhyanam. And the result is Shanti. The result is Shanti. So Krishna says here, because of this meditation techniques, what is used in the meditation classes, will not have any result, will not bring any result. That's why you can see, talk to people who have attended meditation classes in different places, ultimately it was a flop. It didn't get anywhere. Certain things, okay, if you sit for 1 hour quietly, naturally either you will sleep or your chittavritti will come down to some degree. To some degree, chittavritti will come down because you are on your own. Therefore, chittavritti will come down. So, vikshepam, remember the three states of mind. Vikshepam, layam and kashayam. three states. Vikshepam is the state, constant flow of thoughts inside. And Vikshepam is very powerful. There are two words there, Vikshepam and Vikalpam. Remember that? Don't get confused with them. There is a little difference between them. Vikshepams are very clearly defined in the Jnana Shastram. It will tell you what Vikshepams are. Vikalpam is all thoughts of kinds of thoughts, what comes in. All kinds of thoughts. They are Vikalpam. And Sankalpam and Vikalpam is the nature of the mind. It's the nature of the mind. So, Vikshepam is one state of the mind. When there is constant thoughts coming through, and at some stage, if you are unable to handle it, these thoughts, what is coming through, you don't get anywhere. That's how it happens, isn't it? Say you got a problem, you are thinking about it from different angles, and you're not getting anywhere. Whether this is right, that's right, no decision is coming out. You can immediately, if you observe your mind, you will see you fall into sleep straight away. That's when you sleep. That's when you fall asleep. The layam comes at that time. Mind is very clearly designed in the Vedanta Shastram. Mind has got this quality called mayam. Mayam means to measure things. Mayam, that's where the business of the mind. Mayam means to measure. So any problem or any issue comes to you, immediately you start measuring it with your mind, isn't it? Oh, is this the right thing to do? Is that the right thing to do? Different options are coming in front of you in the form of Sankalpam and Vikalpam. First of all, it brings the problem. That is Sankalpam. Then it creates a Vikalpam over those Sankalpam. Is it not? That's how it works, isn't it? First, a fear comes to your mind from nowhere. Oh, what's going to happen tomorrow if I get sick? A thought comes to you. You're sitting quietly somewhere. And suddenly a thought comes to you about some fear inside. That's a Sankalpam it has created. It hasn't happened yet. And you have already started worrying about it. It hasn't happened so far, but you have started worrying about it. Why? That Sankalpam has created all the Vikalpam with that. See how subtle the mind is working inside. This is how our life, whole life is centered around this one thing only. Day after day, different Sankalpam is coming inside. And we sit there thinking about it. All the Vikalpam will follow. So this Sankalpam and Vikalpam is the two things constantly happening when you are in the Jagrat state. These Sankalpam and Vikalpam, if it becomes very powerful inside, excessive inside, and you are not able to control it, you are not getting any grip over it, immediately what will happen, mind will tell you, I can't do anything with this Sankalpa Vikalpam, let me go to sleep. He will tell you that, and you follow him with that. That is when you fall sleepy. Layam happens. Dissolution happens there. So, Sankalpam, this Vikalpam state, and then this state of Layam, two layam states. Then the third one is what is Kashaya state. Kashaya state is more interesting. In Kashaya state, what's happening is that you have understood certain things in this world, that it's all troublesome, I'm not going to bother about this, I'm not going to bother about that. But at the same time, you just don't know what to do. Mood off state, off mood. You just lost everything, no interest in anything. And doesn't know what to do, doesn't know what will happen tomorrow, does not know what to do in life, there's no goal, there's no interest in anything. Just waiting, let it happen, whatever happens, and a kind of depressed state. That is called Kashaya state. If you observe your mind carefully, you will notice it will be in one of these three modes all the time. Sankalpa Vikalpam, Layam or Kashayam. That is how the three states of the mind is discussed. So, saying that, Krishna is saying here that the meditation process, ultimately, if Shanti is required, these three states has to go. You can never be in Kashayam state, you cannot be in the Layam state, you cannot be in the Vikalpam state either. So, that is why it is very, very difficult, because in order to do that, Krishna gives a slight indication there, in that verses, in those two verses, if you look, you will see there, Sparshan krtva bahir bahyam chakshushai vandare bhruoho pranapanau samau krtva nasabhyandaracharinau यद इंद्रियमनोबुद्धिर् मुनिर्मोक्षपरायणाः विगदेच्छा भयक्रोध य सदा मुक्तये वसा. इन टू वर्सेस कृष्णा समराइज़ द होल थिंग विच ही इज गोइंग टू एक्सप्लेन इन डिटेल इन द सिक्स्थ चैप्टर. आफ्टर लेइंग द फाउंडेशन फॉर ध्यान योगम और मेडिटेशन प्रोसेस इन द फिफ्थ चैप्टर कृष्णा स्पोक दोज टू वर्सेस दीज टू वर्सेस स्पर्शान कृत्वा बहिर्ब्रंश. सो देयर ही सेज हियर दैट वन द सिंपलेस्ट इंडिकेशन इज दिस इन दैट वर्सेस. इफ यू लुक वेरी केयरफुली यू रीड थ्रू दोज वर्सेस द मेसेज इज दिस फ्रॉम कृष्णा. कृष्णा इज सेइंग हियर दैट हाउ टू परफॉर्म मेडिटेशन दैट इज दिस दैट डोंट अलाउ द सेंसेस to let the sense objects from outside to get in. That's the message from that. Keep the sense objects outside and keep the inside as it is. Not allow anything to get inside. Keep them outside. Those who are outside, keep them outside. Don't let them in. And who is inside, don't allow them to go out. Difficult, isn't it? Don't allow those who are outside to get in, and those allow who are inside to get out either. What means he's talking about the mind inside. Don't allow him to go out, and don't allow the sense objects to get in. So Krishna is saying in those two verses, if you read through those two verses, which is the 27 and 28, this is what, who will do this? Moksha Parayana, one who is looking for liberation from this world. This will be the first thing what he does. Muni moksha parayana. He has realized it that self-realization is his goal. So as soon as self-realization becomes the goal, Muni moksha parayana. And to be in that state, what he does is sparshan krutva bahir bahyam chakshuschai vandare bruvo pranabhano samau krutva nasabhyandara charino. All the senses, he brings, not allow them to come into contact with sense objects. Only if you allow the senses to come to contact with the sense objects, they will get in. If you don't allow them to come into contact with sense objects, they won't get in. Isn't it? So now you know why we say we have these four regulative principles. It is for this reason only. That it is not the... We say, oh, I'm frightened because I'll go to hell. Therefore, I'm following four regulative principles. That's misunderstanding. There is no such thing called heaven. There's no such thing called hell either. These are all created for us. Okay, in Bhagavatam it is explained, the fifth canto will tell many, many things. But right now, Krishna's point is to us is, don't worry about heaven and hell too much. If you want to realize what you are, the first thing you have to do is this. Don't allow the senses to come into contact with sense objects. If you have done that, there is no question of antarmukhatvam. Because they have all got inside. Once they have inside, they will do their games. They will play their games. So, that is why it is said there, that manobuddhir munir moksha parayana, one who is looking for liberation and want to come to his spiritual identity, this is the first thing he will do. Krishna laid the foundation of meditation right in the fifth chapter itself, before starting discussion of Dhyana Yogam in the next chapter. So, after saying that, Krishna says there that that moksha varayana, you will see a word used there, moksha varayana. Moksha varayana means that parayanam, you know what that word. We also do parayanam, isn't it? Parayanam is what? Gita parayanam, we say. Reading Bhagavad Gita every day. This Gita parayanam. So, parayana means the ayanam towards param is parayanam. I mean the journey towards the param, the supreme truth, is parayanam. So, what is that parayanam? Real parayanam, Krishna is saying here, moksha parayanam. Moksha parayanam means one who can cross over this ocean of material existence. Samsara sagaram, isn't it? That's why in that verse you will see samsara sagare magnam dinam mam karunanidhe. That samsara sagaram is this, that the ocean of material existence means what? Keep on changing the body, one body after another, and repeatedly taking birth, leaving this body, accepting another body, leaving that body, accepting another body. This cycle is called samsaram, samsara sagaram. So one who wants to see the other side of this, cross over this ocean, Krishna says here that is where Munir Moksha Parayana word is coming from. Word is coming from. So it is in that state where all our problems are resolved once for all. That state is called moksham. Moksham is that state that we do not know at this point. And so we have to start from there, the state where we don't know anything about it. So when we talk about moksham, there will be a lot of imagination about it, isn't it? People will imagine about moksham in different way. Somebody will imagine he's going to Golokam, somebody will imagine going to Vaikuntham and going back home back to Godhead. In several ways you can imagine about this moksham state, isn't it? So that is basically what it is. Krishna is saying here is that don't imagine anything about it. Simple meaning of that is complete independence. Complete independence. No more controlled by another material body, a mind, an intelligence, ego. Those things have completely left us. So freedom from the mind, freedom from the body, freedom from the intelligence, freedom from the ego. That is the state of existence for the soul. In that state is considered as moksham in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam moksham's definition is like that. So swarupam anusandhanam bhakti ritya bhidiyate. When you are in your swarupam, in your pure spiritual identity, that is bhakti. And it also says, mukti hi tanyadharupam swarupena vyavasthiti. In the Bhagavatam second canto, mukti tek tanyadharupam. When you have given up all other identity, mind, body, intelligence, senses, ego, everything has gone away. That is mukti. Swarupena vyavasthiti. When one is in one's own swarupam. So after saying that, Krishna is saying here, that is it possible to reach that state in our daily life here in this world? That question will come, isn't it? Is it possible to reach such a state in this life? The answer to that we have to understand, is it possible or not? How is it possible? Has it happened? And what is the statement from the others who have reached that state in this life? This is what we have to look at. So so, mainly, spiritual life begins at this point, only when we start inquiring these things. And if you look back into all the great personalities, Lord Buddha, Shankaracharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they all had spoken about it at some point or the other. You will see that in all the Vedic literature, all the great acharyas have spoken about this at some point or the other. Where does the spiritual life begins? So, mainly, we have problems. Problem with the body, isn't it? Mainly, we have problem with the body. What kind of problems? Birth, death, old age, disease. It is a very interesting concept if you understand this properly. Birth, death, old age and disease are problems for the body. Then, lust, anger, greed, envy, jealousy, hate, these are all problems in the mind. Problems in the mind. So, in simple terms, body you know very well with your best treatment and medicine, everything, to some extent you can keep under control. But eventually, body will dictate its own terms to us. You have to listen, you have no choice there. Mind also, you may try to control from your side to a maximum, it will not surrender. It will not subdue itself, or it will not come under your control, the mind also. So there is distress that is coming from inside, from the mind, and there is distress coming from outside, from the body, inside and outside. In addition to both of these two things, there is distress that is coming from other people in this world also, from the external world. The distress is coming to us. So, is there a solution to all these three problems, which we call normally as adhyatmikam, adibaudhiyam, adidevikam? All these things are nothing but these three things only. One that is happening in the body, which you can see what's happening into the body, the problems are coming. Inside the mind, there is a set of problems there, what's coming. Added to that, there's problem from the rest of the world, who gives us other problems also. So, with all these problems, to be situated in this world and completely satisfied in Shanti? That is the question we have, isn't it? Is it possible to do that? And Krishna says it is possible, and that state is called moksham. That state is called moksham. And that is where the Shanti has no more, does not leave you anymore, right, in this body, in this world. So this question is the best one. The example is Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha is the finest example. This is how his spiritual life began, with these three questions. Is it possible to get out of these three? No one else has asked this question like Lord Buddha. Why? Because Lord Buddha was a prince, wasn't he? He was a prince from the royal family, very wealthy, full of power, Kshatriya he was. And the father, Suddhodana, and the and in that state, they saw Lord Buddha's horoscope when he was born. When they looked at the horoscope, they found that he is going to be a sannyasi in the later life. Very strong indication of sannyasi in the later life. As soon as they realized this, their mind started working. This one son who is going to take over the administration later on, if he becomes a sannyasi, what will happen? So it was then that the father and mother decided together to keep him as happy as possible in this world, so that he will not lose interest in this world. Only when you lose interest in this world, you become a sannyasi, isn't it? That's the system today. When you're completely fed up with this world, the last thing to do, go and take sannyas. And then there you will go in another direction. But here Krishna's point is, Krishna is not talking about that kind of sannyasam in the Bhagavad Gita. Anywhere you will find it. When you start studying Bhagavad Gita, you will see Krishna is talking about a sannyasam which is totally different. Totally different. So anyway, here, interesting thing is, the royal family decided to build three separate houses for the for our prince, Siddhartha. He was in the rainy season, he had one, winter season, another one in the summer season. Three different palaces where he was asked to stay. And all the association what he got, there was no distress in anything. In such a way, he lived the life there. He grew up in that way. Sufficient sense gratification, so he gets attracted to sense enjoyment. And no distress of this world he was allowed to see anywhere. Old people were not allowed to go to him. Only young people, young men, young women, they were allowed to approach him. Because old people, nobody wants, isn't it? As you see, you're gone old, leave him alone, leave him behind. So that was avoided. And then all kinds of sense gratification was offered to him. So once it so happened that Siddhartha decided to go on a journey outside. So the royal family gave him a nice chariot to travel and a good charioteer as well. And charioteer was specially instructed that he will only talk everything in a positive way to Siddhartha. And Siddhartha will always feel happiness in this world. In such a way you should speak to him. Never talk to him about any distress or any kind of misery in this world. You are not allowed to discuss. The charioteer was given very strict injunctions by the parents, Siddhartha's parents. So the journey started. But it was then that, this is the Buddhist version also, that the demigods entered into this charioteer's body and changed his mind. And when this journey started, the discussions began like this. That the discussion is like this between Buddha and the charioteer. They say it's like that. That first thing, they saw a person, an old man coming through. Old person. He had one danda in his hand because he couldn't walk on his own. Angangalidam bhalidam thundam dashanavihinam jadam thundam vridhoyadi grahitva dandam tadadina munjadi asha pindam. Bhajagovindam prayers, it says like this. Angangalidam bhalidam bhalidam mundam. That angangalidam, all his body, parts of the body has become more or less useless. Angangalidam phalidam phalidam mundam. He is also, hair has all gone grey, completely gone grey. Teeth has all fallen off. Obviously, the person whom you see and did not go to a dentist, I assume. That's what we do. At least he was a little bit more intelligent than us. Isn't it? That we try to make up there also, if we can do something about it. Angangalidam phalidam mundam. Dashanavihinam jadam tundam. Five senses of knowledge and five senses of action has gone. There's no more taste for that anymore. No interest to eat. No interest in eyes. I can't see anything. All the eyes are dropping down. And can't hear. If you say something, we'll ask, he keep asking. So, you will get, naturally you will give up. You won't say anything anymore after that, isn't it? So, eyes are not working, can't see anything. Right in the middle of the road he stands. You're honking, telling him to move. He's not moving. So you're saying, why you're not moving? Because you can't see that you're come. Because ears you can't hear, eyes you can't see. And he's there with the stick in the hand. And you will curse him also. Old man, why do you want to die on the road? Or because we are young, we have got the strength. You make a comment like that, isn't it? Angagalidam balidam tundam. Dashana vihinam jadam tundam. And all that is left is this body, a bag, used for nothing. Vruddho yadi grihitva dandam. Because of this old age, what state he is, he can't even stand properly. He may fall. Therefore, he has taken shelter of this danda, like a sannyasi. He's got this danda in the hand. Vruddho yadi grihitva dandam. All these things have changed in him. Tadabina munjari asha pindam. That pindam inside of these material desires, that's the only thing that hasn't changed. On the other hand, that has grown much bigger. Bigger than what it was before. Tadabina munjari asha pindam. So, this old man was coming, and as soon as he saw that old man, the prince looked at him, and he asked, Siddhartha asked this charioteer, who is this? I've never seen one like this before, he says. So the charioteer says, you have not seen one, have you? Now you can see what it's like. So what's happened to him, he says. So charioteer says to him, this is what his old age means, he says. This is what old age means. It's worthwhile going to some of these NHS hospitals. Very, very old people. Once in a way, making a visit is worthwhile. Because make us wake up something where it's all going to end up. Now it's all going nicely on the motorway and running here, running there. But where it all ends up at the end, is that's where it is. Tadavina munjari ashavinam. So Siddhartha asks this question and he says to him that this is not only him, it will happen to you also, he says. It will happen to me, he says. He says, yeah, it will happen to you as well. And Siddhartha opened his eyes. Siddhartha opened his eyes at that point. And Siddhartha kept on looking at him. All the hair has gone grey and all the teeth has gone. He can't hear anything. He can't see anything. And anything, whatever you say to him, he will keep making some noise because he can't hear anything. So when the body is shaking all the time, struggling to walk, when he saw this situation, Siddhartha's mind started working. He started thinking about this at that time. And the charioteer explained to him, it won't happen to you, Siddhartha, today. It will take a little while for that to happen, but it will come to you one day. So again, Siddhartha clarified this question, when will that happen? He says, it will give you some 30, 40 years. By then you will be in that stage. It will happen to you slowly. It happens slowly, he said. And it has happened to your father. It has happened to your grandfather. It has happened to your great-grandfather. Everybody had gone through this, he said. Only then Siddhartha realized that there is a stage called old age. Old age is like that. So at that time he looked at himself and he looked at the old man. And he realized that there was no beauty in the body. Whole beauty has gone. All the flesh was hanging and the skin was all lost its freshness. And he realized that what is this old age has to offer. So we'll stop there today. We'll discuss old age again next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.